When you see these symbols, what do you think of? These two images are extremely different, but they're, and I even heard somebody say it, these are very recognizable signs of peace. Interestingly, as I researched this last week, I learned that neither one was developed out of an abundance of peace, but instead out of a deep need for peace. The dove and the olive branch have actually been used in many different traditions throughout history, but the Christian symbolism comes from the Old Testament account of Noah, who, after some time, sent a dove out in search of land after the great flood. And the dove returns holding an olive branch, indicating that the waters were receding, that land was near, but it was a sign of a promise of peace after the storm of God's judgment. And what about the two fingers raised in a V shape? This symbol actually started as a sign of victory, not peace. And it actually started with resistance fighters in World War II German-occupied territories, and it was used as a symbol of strength. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill adopted it as a sign for English victory. And eventually it came to stand for the end of the conflict. But later in the 1960s, it was adopted by the anti-war crowd, those who opposed the war. While we immediately associate peace with these symbols, none of them were born out of peace. All of these images came about because of a desperate need for peace amidst conflict and war and unrest. What about this one? This I did not know. Does anybody have a guess of what this is a symbol of? We know that the peace sign was first developed by a British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham in 1958. And the emblem actually came from two semaphore movements. Those of you who are in the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marine Corps, you know what I'm talking about in semaphore. It's the two signals in semaphore with the letter N and the letter D. And what it stood for was nuclear disarmament. Holtham recalled that the design was very personal to him because it also represented a person with outstretched arms, outstretched in despair. The symbol was used in Britain to protest making nuclear weapons. When it was brought to America, it was used for broader purposes. It was used in the civil rights movements and later again adopted as an anti-war symbol by those who opposed the Vietnam War. Peace is very easily defined in the dictionary. It is freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. But it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite that we most recognize our need for peace and the power specifically of peace that God provides. See, we see peace most clearly not in the absence of noise and suffering and conflict, but actually right in the midst of it all. This is the world that Jesus came to. The song Silent Night conjures up calm and soothing and peaceful images in our mind. And oftentimes, it's a worshipful 3-minute break from all the hectic craziness of the holiday preparations of the season. How many of you ever heard of a singer named Travis Tritt? Most of you probably have. You asked that in Fort Collins, you may not get as many hands. But if you don't know, Travis Tritt is a very famous country singer. And he has a story that before he made it big, he would go and play in all these out-of-the-way bars and taverns. And he said that the people there, he said that the places, as you might expect, could be extremely dangerous because the people in these honky-tonks were typically drunk, and they had a hard time, he said, controlling their tempers. Eventually, he said, bar fights would break out. And he said even he and the other entertainers would be in danger. How did I handle these risky crowds? He wrote, quote, "When the bar fights started getting out of hand, when bikers were reaching for their pool cues and rednecks were heading for the gun rack, I started playing Silent Night. It could be the middle of July," he said. "I didn't care. Sometimes they'd even start crying, standing there watching me sweat and play Christmas carols." See, the singing of Silent Night brought peace to a bunch of drunken men in a bar, in a tavern. And it makes sense because the very first Christmas carol that was ever sung promised exactly that, peace to men. But the original Silent Night was not very silent at all. The world back then was not at peace. There was a great divide between God and the people. There were conflicts among families and nations. There was political turmoil and Roman oppression. People were made to forced to physically travel, just like Mary and Joseph, by the Roman politicians. And there was unrest in the hearts of many. But in the midst of it all, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Messiah, was and is many things. And the prophet Isaiah foretold what he would be. In Isaiah 9, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." But it's important to remember that Jesus is not just a symbol of peace. He actually is peace. And the Prince of Peace came and offers us peace. That was part of the original birth announcement made by the angels. We see in Luke chapter 2, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" The first Christmas carol. If you've been with us for the past 3 weeks, we've been on a journey through this season called Advent. And we've been looking at these aspects, these gifts that God brings with Christ coming to earth. We looked at hope, we looked at love, and we looked at joy. Now, the word Advent simply means coming or arrival. And it's a season that's marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. And we remember that Advent is not just like an extension of Christmas, but it's a season that actually links together the past, the present, and the future. Because Advent gives us the opportunity to really appreciate and celebrate Christ coming, but we also anticipate his second coming. So over the last three weeks, we've looked at this hope, love, and joy of Christ. And this morning, we look at the fourth aspect of Advent, the aspect of peace. This is actually, on a personal note, probably one of the most pressing importance. Not that hope, joy, and love aren't important, they are, but for me personally, peace really goes deep. Advent is a season for allowing God's peace to penetrate our hearts and our minds as we prepare for his coming at Christmas and his return one day. And I think what an appropriate time and season to recognize Jesus as our peace. If you think about it, really, our world is not much different from the one that Jesus stepped into a couple of thousand years ago. Now, certainly, we are more technologically advanced, but I think our fast-paced, high-tech capabilities in many ways just add to the anxiety and the stress and the fatigue and create just a relentless pace of life. Our world still rages with wars and violence. Governments and politicians argue against each other. And while we have so much to be thankful in our lives and in our community and our country, peace can and does pretty easily get squeezed out of our life. Think about this. Have you ever been somewhere and suddenly it got very quiet? Maybe you were in a building and the electricity went out and the hum of the computers and the lights and the appliances all were silenced. Or maybe you've been outdoors at night when all of a sudden the noise of all the crickets just stop. I think that sometimes we don't even recognize the noise all around us until it suddenly stops and we hear the silence. The same, I think, can be true for peace in our lives. Sometimes we're so used to the hustle and bustle, we don't recognize the noise and the chaos all around us until it's gone, until we take the time to experience peace and allow God to silence the other noises in our life. We all long for peace in our lives. And yet peace still is sadly lacking in our world. But that's where Jesus comes in. Because Jesus is not only our hope at Christmas, our love, our joy, but he's also our peace. And it is only in Christ that we will ever be able to truly obtain peace on earth. Part of the Christmas story, part of the Christmas message that Jesus brings is peace. So let's dive into God's word. And I'd like us to look at four qualities of peace, the peace that Jesus brings this morning. So the first one is that Jesus brings peace with God. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice here that we are not naturally at peace with God. The Bible tells us very clear that our sins have separated us from God. And it is only through Jesus, it's only through faith in him alone, that we can be brought into a relationship of peace with our God, with our Creator. We read last week that when God first sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, and he sent Gabriel with a message of peace. We read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" See, Mary was troubled at the angel's greeting, but what did the angel do? The angel spoke words of peace and assurance to her, telling her not to be afraid because God was with her and God had found favor in her. You might wonder, how did Mary find favor with God? The only way that any one of us can find favor with God, and that's simply, just like Mary, have faith in God and the promise, and in his promise that the Messiah is coming. Like all the Old Testament believers before her, she had faith in Christ before Christ ever even came. And now God had chosen her to be the vessel, the means by which the Son of God would come and enter into the world. He also sent an angel to Joseph. This was Mary's husband-to-be. You'll read in Scripture that they were betrothed. Betrothed is kind of like an engagement, or what we know an engagement, but it was actually a legal contract, if you will. So think of it as an engagement on steroids. But the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus actually means salvation. The name Jesus is actually a Greco-Roman word coming from the Hebrew Yeshua. And Yeshua means to deliver, to rescue. Jesus was given this name because he was the promised Savior, the Messiah, who came to bring us peace with God by saving us from our sins. When John the Baptist was born 3 months before Jesus, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied about his son, John. And in this prophecy, he spoke about how John would go before Jesus and prepare the way for the one who would bring us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. These are Zechariah's words about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. And so this is Zechariah speaking to his three-month-old son. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide your feet into the way of peace." So how did Jesus do this? Why is it that everyone who puts their faith in Jesus finds peace with God? And just like we sang about this morning, the answer is really simple. It's because of what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus was born into this world to die on that cross so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could be restored back to a right relationship with God. We read in Isaiah 53, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." So that's, I think, the first and most important quality of peace that we're reminded at Christmas, that Jesus brings peace with God. Secondly, Jesus brings peace with self. See, sin not only separates us from God, but it also brings separation with inside of our own being. We are conflicted beings. We are constantly fighting anxiety and stress and inner turmoil. We desperately need inner peace. And Jesus came not only to bring peace with God, but also to bring personal peace within ourselves. If you look in the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find a man named Simeon. See, God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he was able to see the Messiah. And we read that the Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go into the temple courts at the exact same time that Mary and Joseph were bringing the baby Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. And we read in Luke chapter 2 that Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples.'" See, I think Simeon's a great example of Jesus bringing personal peace. Sometimes we talk about our bucket lists, right? Those things that we want to do before we die, before we leave this place called Earth. Well, apparently Simeon had a bucket list, but there was only one thing on his list. All he wanted was to see the Messiah before he died. And when he finally did, when he finally got to hold Jesus and see him, what did he do? He praised God, he embraced Christ, and he said he was at peace with himself. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you not only receive peace with God, you also receive peace of God to help you with your circumstances, to help you with the difficulties of life. And when you know Christ, everything around you can just be crazy, chaotic, all that noise, but you still have that peace with inside of yourself. Philippians 4 instructs us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Notice that this wonderful peace is only available in and through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus had some really beautiful words in John 14. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So Jesus not only brings peace with God, but he also brings peace with self. And then thirdly, Jesus brings peace with others. We have a wonderful example of this in the Christmas story. When Joseph first heard that Mary was pregnant, he considered breaking off the betrothal, the engagement. I think it's easy to say that he must have been hurt. He must have been confused, thinking that Mary had been unfaithful to him. But then we read in Matthew 1, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" See, if Mary was pregnant with child from another man, Joseph probably would have broken off that engagement. But this wasn't any other child. This was Jesus, and he was conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, even before he was born, brought peace between Joseph and Mary, and he kept their marriage from coming apart. We all go through many challenges in life. And I think the most difficult is when our relationships are in conflict. That's when we need to ask Jesus, remember his name, the Prince of Peace, to come in and bring peace into our relationships, to intervene, to reconcile, and to restore. We read this about Jesus in Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. See, that's why Jesus came. He came to break down barriers, to bridge the gap, to bring people together, and to restore peace in our damaged relationships. Our God, church family, is all about restoring relationships. First and foremost, restoring the relationship that was broken between us, mankind, and God himself. But he doesn't stop there. He continues to bring peace so that our human relationships would be reconciled and restored. And as believers in Christ, we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps. We read in Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Jesus brings peace with others. And then lastly, Jesus will bring peace on earth. So the angels who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds on that very first Christmas Eve, they also proclaimed that Jesus would bring peace to the planet. We read in Luke 2, and suddenly there appeared again an angel, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. This was the same peace that was prophesied back in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. We read in about this prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 2. And he will judge between the nations, and he will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Man, I can't wait for that day. Never again learn war. Some people ask, how do we know that Isaiah is talking about Jesus in chapter 2 and not just about God in general? Well, if you go a few more chapters, we find these words that who it is that will ultimately bring peace on earth. Isaiah 9, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And again, we read, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And then if you look at the first part of verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. This is clearly a prophecy about Jesus, who was born a child and who would be called the Prince of Peace, and who one day rule in peace over all the earth. But it gets better than that, because this peace on earth will not only bring an end to war among nations, it'll actually bring peace to nature into the animal kingdom. We know because of the fall that all of creation, Scripture says, groans under the weight of sin. But we read in Isaiah 11, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. And the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. Jesus truly, truly is the Prince of Peace. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible tells us that Jesus will not only bring peace to earth, but he'll bring peace to the entire universe, the whole universe. And it says that he will reconcile all things to himself on heaven and on earth. Colossians 1, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. There it is again. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So this verse in Colossians brings us right back to where we started. The reason Jesus brings peace with God, peace with self, peace with others, and peace on earth, it all goes back to the cross. Without Jesus shedding his blood on that cross, there would be no peace. And without Jesus being born at Christmas, there would be no cross. So I'll ask you, do you have peace this morning? I'm here to tell you that Jesus died on that cross to pay the penalty of your sins, for your sins, so that you could be forgiven and restored back to that right relationship with God. If your faith is in Christ, then you have peace with God. Do you have peace with yourself this morning? If your faith is in Christ, know that Jesus has not abandoned you, but has come to live in you by his Holy Spirit, and he offers you his peace. Again, John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And do you have peace with others this morning? If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then you have all the resources that you need to do your part in peaceful relationships with those around you. And after you've done your part, then go and ask Jesus in prayer that he would work in the other person's heart so that the two of you might live in peace. Do we have peace on earth this morning? No, I wish we did. We don't have peace on earth yet, but we have the promise of peace on earth to come. And remember, God has never, ever broken one of his promises. The angels proclaimed to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Those words, some 2,000 years ago, those words of promise still ring true this Christmas as we worship and adore Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. And as we celebrate this season of Advent, this season of waiting, let's recognize that we wait with longing for God's peace to be made perfect in our world. But let's also remember that the peace of Christ is also here and now and is waiting to fill us all. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming as the Prince of Peace. And Lord, as we walk through this life, this Christian life that you've given us, we confess that many times that peace escapes us. I pray, Lord, that you would use today and tomorrow, this Christmas season, and throughout this next year in 2019, Lord, would you help us to realize in a much deeper and truer way your peace amidst the chaos, amidst the noise? Would you grant us the privilege of living in your peace and living out your peace as well? We pray all this in the perfect and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.